You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Not much has happened since we were last here. Good afternoon and welcome to four more hours of unadulterated fun and circus activity. So we now know, as we were speculating yesterday, LSU has found its new head coach. Did you guess Brian Kelly in the office pool? If you did, come on down and win the lottery, because I didn't hear his name mentioned very often. Remember, it started with Mel Tucker and Jimbo Fisher and all the usual suspects. It ended with Kelly. He is officially the coach. He'll be introduced tomorrow afternoon, and we are going to spend plenty of time talking about it today. We'll get your reaction as well, but let's begin right there. And Scott Rabelais joining us from Baton Rouge has covered this from the beginning. Scott, good afternoon, and tell us about Baton Rouge and its reaction to this hire.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. I think people have had to kind of get used to it a little bit. As you said, it was kind of a name that no one was focusing on. All the focus going into the weekend was on Lincoln Riley and would he leave Oklahoma for LSU. And, of course, when it turned out he wasn't, and then going to USC, people were kind of like, well, where is LSU's search? Well, it didn't take very long. If it moved quickly, or they had him on speed dial for a long time, it turned out very quickly for Brian Kelly. And I think people are adjusting a little bit. I think they're thinking, who is this guy? This guy, is he going to, how's he going to do here, and that sort of thing. But I think people are starting to realize he has the best resume of any coach that LSU's ever hired in football coming in. I mean, Nick Saban became Nick Saban after he got here, and you think of Bill Arnsparger back in the 80s when I was in school, but his resume is up there. He just is looking for that opportunity to get over the hump and win that national championship, which is all that's missing from probably what you would say is a Hall of Fame career resume.
Scott, it's interesting. He and Lincoln Riley, I believe, have the same agent, so it's also an agent that some have speculated that Scott Woodward favored. I know 24 to 48 hours ago, many were wondering if Scott Woodward knew what he was doing, but take us behind the curtain and tell us what he was doing.
Well, Trace Armstrong is also Scott's agent. So you can put all that, together. If people hear, there's still two camps, and I think we're all trying to sort through that. There are people who say that the search had kind of gotten to where they were starting to look at somebody like Mark Stoops at Kentucky or Bill O'Brien, and they weren't looking at Billy Napier, who went to Florida. They never considered him. They weren't looking at Dave Aranda, who had just been here and has obviously got Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. But they're saying, you're going to love it, you're going to love it, you're going to love it. And so the story that the LSU people want to tell is that he was someone they targeted for a while. I certainly started to hear his name over the weekend at halftime of the game against Texas A&M Saturday. They say that a lot of the LSU board members were saying Lincoln Riley's not coming, and they started talking about Brian Kelly. And of course, that picked up, a little bit on Sunday, and much more so Monday during the day, and became that. So, I could see there being possible, at least, that there wasn't that much interest between LSU and Lincoln Riley. That it was just kind of a diversion for him to go to USC, where he wanted to go, as something that that working on with all their agents and Brian Kelly, as we heard Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame AD, say today. I got in a sense for a while that Brian has kind of been kind of restless and maybe was looking for another opportunity. So perhaps that is the case, because obviously the LSU's been working on this for a very long time.
Scott, I heard somebody tell me today that he didn't think he was a good fit, and I responded by saying, well, Ed Orgeron was the best fit ever, and he's got fired.
Right.
So tell us what you know about Brian Kelly and how he fits that apparatus better known as LSU football.
Yeah, Paul, that's true. He has no ties down here. He's recruited some players from here. In fact, they've got a commitment from a player from not too far away, about an hour away from Baton Rouge. But Nick Saban wasn't a fit. He never even came. Nick Saban never even came to the campus before he took the job. You know, he was from other parts of the country. He was in Michigan State. So, and Ed Orgeron, he said, couldn't be a better fit. You know, the only person from South Louisiana in 100 years to be the coach. Look, I wrote this when LSU early in the process, and I was talking about Mel Tucker, because I saw Mel Tucker had a lot of the qualities that the two most respected coaches that LSU's had that I can ever think of in my lifetime, Saban and Arnsparger. Defensive guy, no nonsense, NFL experience. And Brian Kelly fits a lot of that stuff. No, he's never been in the NFL, but he's kind of a hard-nosed guy, demanding. And I think, frankly, Paul, I think that's the kind of coach LSU needs. I think they need someone who is going to demand excellence, who's going to demand the players kind of toe the line and pay attention to detail and are focused. I think this is the kind of guy. He might be the easiest person for us to deal with in the media. I've heard some of those things, but I think he's the kind of coach that LSU needs. In someone of the mold of an Arnsparger and a Saban, who both were here and successful and were very well respected.
Scott, it's still early. Notre Dame has not made a decision yet, which could impact or affect the next question I'm asking you. But what do you hear in relation to his staff?
Yeah, there are reports out there that he's going to try to lure both of his coordinators, Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator, who Ed Orgeron tried to hire last year from Cincinnati. And the word was that he didn't want to come. One reason he didn't want to come was he was worried that Orgeron, might not have a long shelf life. And his offensive coordinator, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. There's a lot of speculation he'll keep at least a couple of assistant coaches. Would not be surprised if Corey Raymond, who was here since Les Miles was here, defensive backs coach. Kevin Falk, of course, the great LSU running back, who's the running backs coach. You got to have some people who know the area, know the recruiting ties, and can make inroads with the high school coaches. So, I think we're going to see a mix of those things. But it would not surprise me if they throw a lot of money at Marcus Freeman to get him to come and be the defensive coordinator here that everyone wanted him to be last year.
Scott, finally, LSU has taken its lumps even 2 years since winning the title. But what does this say to the LSU people that they got a coach from Notre Dame?
Well, Paul, Louisiana, especially South Louisiana, very heavily Catholic, part of the country, right? And Notre Dame is always, growing up here, Notre Dame has always been that school that has a lot of reverence. Of course, they had a great tradition that you might argue an LSU has surpassed, certainly recent years with 3 national championships in the last 18 years. But it's a school that has a certain reverence. And I think the fact that that you got a coach from there, a school where you think you can stay there. I mean, you wouldn't expect that he would want to leave for any opportunity. But he saw an opportunity here, even despite the challenges of going up against Alabama and Texas A&M and Georgia and Florida and all these other programs, that he's seen that challenge and says, I think I can still be to get that thing, that the one thing has eluded them, which is a national championship. And he said the opportunities, he said in his statement that LSU, we haven't talked to him yet, we get to talk to him tomorrow, the opportunities are unlimited. And I think he's looking at that and they'd be the crowning achievement to a very long and very successful career.
Finally, the name that we began this coaching search with nearly 2 months ago obviously did not take the offer. In fact, he came into Tiger Stadium and lost the other day. But what do you know, if anything, about the conversations behind the scenes with Jimbo Fisher?
you know, I'm sure we'll hear tomorrow that Brian Kelly is the only coach they ever offered and all this sort of thing. I have to believe, you know, because of the relationship with Scott Woodward and Jimbo, they were here together in the early 2000s when Mark was working on the university side under Mark, Scott Woodward was working on the university side under Mark Emmert when he was LSU's chancellor. And when Nick was here and Jimbo was his first offensive coordinator, there's been a long relationship there. Scott brought him to Texas A&M when Scott was the AD there. You'd be hard pressed to dissuade me that he wasn't the guy that he wanted to hire first of all and most of all. But, you know, I think they certainly realized at some point, you know, it probably in the last couple of weeks that was not going to change. Maybe even thought it might change if with that win Saturday night, but no, that was not going to change. And so, but I think there's a fondness and affinity there on both sides. I think Jimbo liked his time here, and I think Scott liked his time with Jimbo, and I don't think that's going to change.
Scott, thank you. The next few days will be very exciting as the whole new era at LSU. Scott Rabelais joining us from The Advocate. The news, of course, official that Brian Kelly has taken the LSU job. We'll get your reaction to that, talk to some experts about what it all means. There's still plenty of openings out there in your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. I don't know why. It just still seems shocking. But if you think you're shocked by it, let's check in with the athletic director, Jack Swarbrick.
Brian did not come to me, which frankly I appreciated, with some opportunity to match the offer. When we talked, he indicated that he was resigning to take another position. He thanked me for the opportunity the university had provided to him, thanked me for our friendship, which I very much appreciated, and I wished him all the best. I was not surprised. There had been enough in the weeks leading up that gave me a pretty strong sense that there might be other things that were attracting Brian. And then, of course, social media got very active during the day yesterday, so I was not surprised.
So Jack knew about it the whole time. Mike Bianchi, this Billy will be the greatest Gators hire since the last Billy. Oh, yeah, Billy Donovan. I forgot about him. Is he still coaching? Yes, I know he is. OU, we're talking to you. They're disappointed. They're surprised. And they're now 3 days since Lincoln Riley left, and they don't have a replacement. Wonder why. Mike Bobo. Nice knowing you, Mike. Don't let the Bobo hit you. Never mind. I don't know what I said that. He is gone as the Auburn OC after 1 year. Mark Stoops. His name's been mentioned for every job, including mine. Quite frankly, I think he'd be quite good here. He has agreed in principle to a new contract. Oh, don't forget, the CFP comes out tonight. I'm good. Let me know what happens next Sunday. This is what happened last Saturday. Remember on Sunday and Monday we were talking about that was the most dizzying weekend ever? I don't even remember who played last weekend, do you? I guess Mike Bobo does. Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Cincinnati. It will obviously change this week. Ohio State lost. Yes, I just remember that. Let's get back to you. Let's start with the phone calls here. I'm pretty eager about that. Let me tell you, Matt Fortuna will join us. Bruce Feldman, who was first out with that story yesterday. Stinch will give us his take on everything that has happened. Andre, the LSU fan, joins us first.
Say it loud, Coach. Hold that tiger.
Hold that tiger.
Listen. Hold that tiger. Listen, make no mistake. This is about talent. This is about recruiting. And this is about coaching. Now, if he goes down there and he wins and recruits, the people of Louisiana will love him regardless of where he's from. But this is about talent, recruiting, and winning. And, you know, make no mistake, this is shark-infested waters. No other conference has this type of NFL talent every week. And no other conference has these type of coaches. I mean, that's just a fact. And people don't like it, but go look at these NFL rosters. It's the SEC. Now, I like Coach O at first, but, man, this thing went sideways real quick. And this is about recruiting. What do you think about it, Coach Feinbaum?
Well, I like to hire. I think it was a smart hire. And, yeah, I don't know what choices Scott Woodward had left. I'm assuming he did not have many great ones. So I think when you're in that position, Andre, you have to make the best out of a challenging situation. And I think that's what he did.
Listen. Coach Kelly has won everywhere he's gone. You know, what separates the SEC from other conferences is the defensive line. He couldn't get them at Notre Dame. He can get them at LSU. Hey, he can he can go 15, 20 minutes outside that stadium down there on Nickerson Drive, and, hey, it's talent everywhere, all up and down Plank Road and Airline Highway down there. And I would advise the people of this country, if you've never been to southern Louisiana, go down to Thibodaux and Homer. Go down there to Avery Island where they make that Tabasco hot sauce at. Man, it is a beautiful, beautiful place. But as always, Coach Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. John is up next in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul, and great interview with Scott, and great interview with Pat Dooley yesterday, although he did seem somewhat lukewarm about the hire of Billy Napier. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I thought it was he said all the right things, but I didn't hear effusive praise.
Not whatsoever. And you were asked the question by Greeny, would Urban Meyer be a good pick for Notre Dame? And what he did, he should have prefaced it with, Paul, call me crazy. I mean, if any school in the nation has a moral compass, it's Notre Dame. Hello.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that mid-afternoon, John, Urban Meyer leaked a story to the media saying that he had no interest in returning to college. I'm still trying to figure out which college is interested in him.
It's overseas, no doubt. Just a quick, I'm going to ask you about the CFP tonight with in relation to these coaching changes. But real quick story, you talked nicely about Jim Harbaugh yesterday. It was in the news today that he's got a contract that's backloaded with different incentive bonuses. And his $500,000 bonus for winning the East of the Big Ten, East Conference port, he's donating the $500,000 to the athletic department for the employees that took pay cuts during the pandemic.
Oh,
I thought that
nice.
Was pretty cool. Yeah. So here's the question, Paul. Notre Dame's looking for a coach. Cincinnati will probably be looking for a coach because that's Lou Fickell's dream job. So will these coaching changes have any effect on the final CFP? What's your thoughts?
I think Luke Fickell is the most important part of that. Everyone has suggested today that maybe Brian Kelly walked out on a team that was going to the playoffs. Nobody really believes Notre Dame's going to the playoffs. There are four or five things that could absolutely happen Saturday that could create that. But Fickle is in the playoffs and he wins this game Saturday, and then he gets offered the Notre Dame job. What happens? Does Notre Dame say, listen, we're going to let you coach? I would assume they would. It's unusual, but I think in this case it might happen.
That's a good point. I see what you're saying. Thank you.
And by the way, it used to be that these things were. By the way, as I'm saying that, we've gotten some comments in from Luke Fickle, asked about the Notre Dame job. He did not say, I'm not going to be the Notre Dame coach or I'm not going to be the LSU coach. He said, I don't know what there is to address. That is what we call in the parlance of politics a non-denial denial. He never addressed it. He didn't. He just blew it off, which is the smart way to answer a question, unlike the sleazy way that Lincoln Riley answered the question Saturday night by saying, I am not going to be the LSU coach. I mean, that was absolute subterfuge. And unfortunately, the Oklahoma media bought it hook, line, and sinker. We are heading to a break. We have a lot more to do here on the program. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Bruce Feldman later on as well. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back here. Let's grab some more calls. And Chris is in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. I called you yesterday and I said that, the amount of days that it takes will be directly proportional to how impressive the hire better be. Well, I'm directly proportionally very pleased today with this hire. I like this hire a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I felt like if it wasn't this week, then it was obvious they were waiting for somebody. But you sensed it was going to be soon. And, yeah, I don't know how you can't like it. I heard somebody, some former player today criticize, it was a former LSU player saying he didn't like the fact that Brian Kelly was 60 years old. I don't think that really should be the issue. You don't hire coaches for 30 years anymore. Lincoln Riley may be the only exception to that, but most coaches burn out. Most coaches move on. And you know one thing, Brian Kelly isn't going anywhere else. So for however long this takes, he's going to be there.
Yeah, well, I have no problem with that aspect of it as far as his age is concerned. I mean, Saban was 57 when he got to Alabama, and I don't think nobody would say that was a he was too old to be successful there. I love his record. Another thing that I really like about this hire is his professional demeanor. We need a serious coach right now. Love Coach O. Going to miss him. You know, he was there for the time that he was there. Before that, we had Les Miles, and we all know what that entails. everything from the mismanagement of the clock, eating grass on the sidelines, whatever. But now it's time to move on from the characters. It's time to get somebody serious, you know, and the best way for me to put that in context is, can you see Alabama hiring Coach O? Can you see Alabama hiring Les Miles? Can you see Alabama hiring even let's say, Lane Kiffin? I don't really see it. It's serious business over there. And now it's time for LSU to get to serious business with our coach. And I was looking at his qualifications today. The man even has a degree in political science. So, smart. I mean, I think he can handle and be a great representative for our university.
Well, let me offer this on Brian Kelly. Of all the things that he has done that has impressed me the most, it's when the bottom fell out about 5 years ago at Notre Dame, I think they had a 4-8 record. He took a good long look in the mirror and completely gutted his staff and brought in some really high quality coordinators. Clark Lee was one of them that was on that staff that went to Vanderbilt, and he really changed everything. And he had some Brian Kelly hasn't been without issues, but I think he's learned from them. And I remember talking to him about a little over a year ago, right before the season, we had him on our show, and I was really struck by how different he appeared than the last time I had seen him or talked to him. And you know, people change, not often at that age, but they do. And I think he took a good long look and felt, hey, I'm one of the top five coaches in America, and I'm probably never going to improve my lot at Notre Dame. And he made this move. Let's check in with Mark, who is up next in Newton, Mass., not too far from where Brian Kelly grew up.
I was going to say, Paul, good to see you. How you been?
We have been great, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I never speak ill about, you know, an Everett man. You know, a lot of respect for Everett. You know, they've had a great high school football program up here for many years. I'm perplexed by this move on Kelly's part. I'm perplexed at, you know, I think LSU right now is falling into a trap that so many college football programs play into and administrators, where they think if you make constant changes, you'll be able to have success in the long run. There's only so many wins to go around. And when you're in the same division as Alabama, and when you're in the same conference as Georgia right now with what Kirby Smart has built, and you previous two coaches that you've fired have won national championships, I from a university administration perspective, I don't know if I would have fired Ed Ogeron if I was president or athletic coach. That's come out first.
Well, Mark, the only thing I would say to that is I think they looked at it and felt to have continuity and to be able to maybe navigate some very difficult waters ahead, they needed to. And we don't know. We don't really know all the things that they knew, but I suspect he was not fired because of the one loss record.
That's certainly possible. But then from Brian Kelly's perspective, I don't understand this at all. Meaning, Notre Dame is one of those jobs where if you win, you're in. Your schedule is not too bad. It's an ACC schedule with then some premier games. You know, obviously everybody's recruiting nationally now, but Notre Dame has been recruiting nationally since the beginning of time. You have that natural connection with Catholic schools across the country. Now you're going to LSU. You have to go up against Dave. I don't see how this isn't going to end with a subpar record and Brian Kelly out of the job in the next 3 to 4 years. And maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong plenty. You know that. I've had some bad takes in my day. But I just don't see.
The only thing I can offer, and I realize, you know, we have quite a disparity in age, but I think he's at an age where he probably convinced himself that he has reached a ceiling. And I think when you think you are capable of more, and you know, this goes for athletes or coaches or people in any walk of life, sometimes you look around and go, I want one more shot at this. And I think that's what Brian Kelly is doing here. He's won championships at other divisions, but I think he wants a championship at this level. And he, quite frankly, was not going to do it at Notre Dame. Augie is up next.
Paul, you seemed shocked and amused with this selection?
Well, I was shocked yesterday because I'd heard his name early on, but like everyone else, I didn't think he would leave.
Well, his name did come up in October, didn't
right,
it, if
it
I
sure
recall.
Did.
But it was pretty much shot down. And then he made a comment, Kelly made a comment that he referenced Mike Tomlin, and he said something about unless a fairy godmother came with $250 million, then I might reassess. Well, it didn't come with $250 million, and I guess Scott Woodward was the fairy godmother, but did this save, in your opinion, Scott Woodward's reputation for a big splash?
Yes, and that's what I was saying yesterday, and I felt like I didn't have any chips on my side, Augie, in our conversation. So I went to the well that you're not supposed to go to. I believe in this guy, even though he's left me no reason to believe in him other than his past. And it paid off.
Well, I don't know what to make of it. I'm optimistic. I didn't think they'd get Brian Kelly. I thought he was off the table. I thought Lane Kiffin was the guy they were going to go to. But do you somehow get the impression, and nobody said anything, but Brian Kelly, of course, brings something to LSU that we haven't had. And that's, I mean, he brings a huge intellect. I think intellectually, it's a huge jump from the previous regime. What do you think?
Are you suggesting, Augie, that Brian Kelly could beat Ed Ogeron in a game of Final Jeopardy?
Well, I wasn't talking about chess. I was talking about management style, administration.
How about anything?
Okay, well, then you went there. I didn't go that far. But here's a guy. It's almost like a Big Ten-type style guy that's coming into the SEC. Do you see any problems with that for him?
I don't right now because I'm looking at it from a standpoint of the board that was available. Now, if you're asking me, do I think he was Woodward's first choice? There's no way. He wanted Jimbo Fisher, Mel Tucker, perhaps, maybe even James Franklin and Lincoln Riley. But he had to pivot. And I think when he woke up yesterday morning, he saw Brian Kelly as his last hope to bring. And it's not only about a big splash. It's about bringing somebody that can enact change. And I think Kelly is very capable of that.
I agree with you there. And the names that you had just mentioned, if I had to stack those guys, because none of those guys were the ones I wanted. But if I had to stack Kelly against them, I'd just as well go with Brian Kelly. And I don't know about the rest of
the Tiger
Nation.
Well, I tell you the name I mentioned that I think would have been the biggest mistake, and that's Jimbo Fisher. Because credibility works two ways. He would have burned his credibility at A&M, and if you're an LSU fan, you understand the question here because I'm sure you've asked people this before. I mean, if you're gonna lie and mislead this person, why am I to believe you're not going to do it to me? So I would have had a hard time trusting Jimbo Fisher had he taken the job.
Well, I didn't want Jimbo Fisher even back in whenever they settled on O. And for those people who say, well, we got rid of O, we never really selected O. O was always the default hire by Oliva. You know that, Paul. He was not the guy anybody went after.
Oliva didn't want him. Oliva let his ego get in the way of the Tom Herman situation, and you know it worked out short term. But that was kind of Joe Oliva's life story. Everything worked out short term, and you paid for it in the end. We'll take a break. More to come. We are live here on Reaction Tuesday to the Brian Kelly hire at LSU. It is official.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
If you don't meet with your team, you get blasted. If you do meet with your team, you get blasted. If you stick around and take questions, it becomes a screaming match. What would you do if you were in his situation? Would you have even bothered? It's a good question. We'll ask Brian Kelly that when we talk to him. Steve is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you.
Just a couple quick questions that you might be able to answer. Number one, do you think that Brian Kelly perhaps took the LSU job because of the fact that he was not in a conference and he wanted a conference championship? or do you think he took the job because he wanted to be that thorn in Saban's side because Saban has got the better of him a couple times and has taken away that national title from Brian Kelly?
Steve, I really don't believe that people at this point in their careers are letting losing to Nick Saban affect them. That would include every coach out there. So I think it's very obvious to me that he took this job to compete for a national championship, feeling that he had a much better idea. And I mean, Notre Dame this year, had it had a conference championship game, would have probably been the favorite Saturday, and had they won, they would be in a better position than Oklahoma State, or probably everyone but Cincinnati, the team that beat them. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Tyler is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller. Love listening to you.
Thank you very much.
So I got a couple questions on it. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I cheer for the Dogs just because I'm in Georgia for my SEC folks, and I married into a bunch of Alabamans, so it's a rough day on Saturday. But I heard you a couple of years back say that Brian Kelly, you know, that Notre Dame is a championship program and they just didn't have a championship caliber coach. But it sounds like today you think that Brian Kelly has a better opportunity to win a championship at LSU, which I wouldn't disagree with.
I think it's all about opportunity, Tyler, because we all know that there are certain restrictions at Notre Dame, and I'm not saying they're as stringent as Notre Dame folks like to make them out to be, but it is a more complex place to recruit any athlete. I think Notre Dame is a tough job for a lot of reasons. And I was not always crazy about some of the things Brian Kelly did there, but I have become a fan of his in recent years. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Connor is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Connor.
Hi, how's it going, Paul? First, just kind of like a hypothetical question. What if, say, obviously Cincinnati and Alabama have a chance to lose this weekend, and then Michigan plays Iowa, which is no gimme. So who do you think goes in for them if all three of them just happen to lose?
Well, I think you have Oklahoma State. I lost track of what you said, but yeah, I think Notre Dame is certainly in that mix. There aren't really many schools remaining in that mix, and then you have Alabama. So, Alabama is not out of this with a loss, whether they should be or not. Yeah, there could be absolute carnage this weekend, and then this committee has to figure it out. Where do they go next? That's why. Tonight is not the most exciting CFP reveal, but there are a few things worth watching. Let's check out Joe, who is in Dothan, Alabama. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, just a hunch, Paul, but I don't think you'll hear any reports of Brian Kelly sexually harassing women at gas stations. Just a thought.
I tend to agree with you on that. And by the way,
I got two
allegedly
things.
Allegedly sexually harassing.
Yes. I have two things, Paul. The first is, I've been listening for about 10 years. I don't get to listen every day, but when I do, it seems like Iron Man calls almost every day. But it's funny when Auburn loses the Iron Bowl, he goes into the witness protection program and starts showing up on milk cartons. And my second thing is, do you think we could start a GoFundMe for grief counseling for Matt from San Antonio? And if my beloved Crimson Tide pulls it out this weekend, Paul, and I concede that it will be a monumental challenge and a very difficult task, and it doesn't look very good. But I'm not giving up hope. And if we do pull it out, I think you're going to have to throw Red Dog in there with him. And
I think of all the people, Red Dog would be the most seriously in need of help. We'll take a break. Matt Fortuna coming up next.